We're tracking the chance for a few more showers and storms as we head into tonight and tomorrow morning. I'll go over the latest timing on Futurecast coming up.
And another round of powerful storms hits the Deep South. The North Carolina organization headed to the impacted areas to help. And deputies stumble upon a cockfighting event. Who is now facing charges tonight?
Live from WRAL News headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We start right here. Rainy, stormy weather made for a dreary end to the weekend. You're looking at video from multiple parts of Wake County today. Good evening, and thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione is here now. And Anthony, when will the clear skies return?
Julian, we're actually seeing some sunshine, thankfully, right now. We do have kind of another batch of some showers and storms to get through tonight. And then I think by the time we head to, let's say, lunchtime, early afternoon tomorrow, we will see some peaks of sunshine. We're not talking straight sunshine across the board, probably until Wednesday or Thursday of this week. Let's get us outside, though, right now. It is a very, very comfortable evening. We're at 60 degrees in Rocky Mount, 64 in Durham. Isn't it nice to see that sunshine here after the dreary day we saw with all the showers and storms pushing through? But here we go again, round two as we head into tonight, mainly after about midnight or so. It is likely to be pouring as we head even 3, 4, 5 a.m. And some of those could be some storms once again. Not expecting severe weather, though. That risk is done for today. Here is Futurecast. We can see you doing a really good job showing those showers pushing out. We head to about 1 a.m. This is when I think we'll start to see this pushing in, and then it gets pretty heavy here, 4, 5, 6 o'clock or so. Our Monday morning commute could be making some progress and a lot drier, but I'd still have the umbrella with you just in case. We will, Julian, here go over the timing for another batch of some showers as we head into our Tuesday, plus some relatively cooler temperatures here in just a few minutes.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. We will see you in just a couple of minutes. Well, you can track the weather right where you are using the WRAL weather app. It's free to download on Google Play and the Apple App Store. I'm telling you, it's a great app to have. Let's go to some breaking news right now. Police just cleared a crime scene in Durham. WRAL's Mark Boyle is live on Duke Street. Mark, what do we know so far?
Just getting some confirmed information from Durham Police, Julian, within the past 15 minutes. It's near this intersection of Duke Street where the two suspects in a reported stolen car, according to investigators, crashed right here behind me. You can see some of the dirt and debris there all along the intersection. Take a look at this video. When we first arrived here on scene, there were several cop cars here. We did see one suspect getting into a patrol cruiser being taken away. We also saw police in this neighborhood. They were canvassing the area. Investigators say two people in that stolen car crashed. One person was caught. We have the video of that young man. And then the other suspect apparently got away. It's unclear right now where that second suspect is, but they are questioning the first person. We also don't know exactly where that car was stolen from. So the scene is clear, but this investigation is still in the very early stages. One person in custody confirmed from police. The second person still on the run here this evening in Durham. We'll keep you updated as new information comes in on this breaking story here tonight. Julian.
All right, Mark Boyle reporting live for us in Durham tonight. Thank you. Recovery efforts continue after violent tornadoes swept through the southeast. At least 26 people are dead after this. As Yvonne Rodriguez reports, several areas are under a state of emergency.
The resources that the people here in Rolling Fork and throughout Mississippi need, the help is on the way.
On Sunday, cleanup and recovery efforts continue in hard-hit Rolling Fork, Mississippi, after a powerful E4 tornado flattened much of the community late Friday night.
What we've seen over the last 36 hours in Mississippi, on the one hand, has been heartbreaking to see the loss and devastation of these communities, but on the other hand, has been inspiring and gives me great reason for optimism.
At least 10 confirmed tornadoes struck Mississippi, Alabama, and Tennessee. And while search and rescue operations are still ongoing, President Joe Biden approved a disaster declaration for the hardest hit parts of Mississippi.
To the people of Mississippi, that we are here, not just today, but for the long haul.
We are going to work with the team, with the state team here, to assess additional counties to see if any more need to be added to this declaration.
In Georgia, a large and extremely dangerous tornado struck south of LaGrange Sunday morning.
Some of the members of our church have had some injuries. Their homes were torn up, but there are no fatalities. Something to be thankful for.
You can see the aftermath of the destruction the storm left behind. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp declared a state of emergency. Meanwhile, in Rolling Fork, residents are bracing for the possibility of more severe storms as they face a long road to recovery. Ivan Rodriguez, WRAL News.
Well, people here in the Triangle are heading out to support residents in Mississippi. WRAL's Laura Levine was at the Red Cross with a look at their efforts to bring light and hope during a dark time for thousands.
Packing up and heading out on a dime's notice is not a job taken lightly.
People are in need right now, and if I am in a position like I am right now, that I can go out and help people and support them, then that's what I'm going to do.
When disaster strikes, Red Cross teams are there for some of the worst moments of someone's life. Tai Wong is a communications manager, ready now to be boots on the ground to help with tornado response in Mississippi.
That's actually one reason why I do what I do. I love talking to people. I love interacting with people and trying to make that positive impact in that community one way or another.
The hardest hit areas there are unrecognizable. Piles of rubble are all that remains for thousands. One American Red Cross volunteer from Wilmington is already out there working.
So we also do have shelters available where we are providing, you know, a warm place for people to stay. We're also providing warm meals, snacks, emotional support and spiritual care, anything that they may need at this time.
They have mobilized relief efforts and are working with local and state officials. With a heavy heart, Wong is leaving out of RDU to Jackson, Mississippi Monday morning, where he will spend the next 2 weeks eager to serve.
I think it's important when you do go to these disasters is you have to have that open mind and that open heart because you want to understand that these people have lost so much of their life from these type of disasters.
For WREL News, I'm Laura Levine in Raleigh.
Here is more of a timeline. Wong will arrive in Jacksonville, Mississippi around 2:30 p.m. He emphasized this will be a long recovery. You can rush an emergency donation to help people affected by the tornadoes and storms by going to theredcross.org/donate. Also responding to the devastation in Mississippi, North Carolina-based Samaritan's Purse, headquartered in Boone. The group has already deployed staff and the first of two disaster relief units. Team members are putting tarps on damaged roofs and helping to clear debris. We spoke today with Bruce Poss, director of the North American Ministries for Samaritan's Purse. He says volunteers come well-supplied to do what's needed.
So the truck is capable of supporting 150, 175 volunteers that are going out and working. And so there's chainsaws, there's tarping materials, and ladders and wheelbarrows, all the things, all the tools that we need to do the work that's needed in these communities. It also, in the front part of it, has an office that our staff will work out of.
Now, Paz says the volunteers are prepared to stay as long as needed. They could be there for several weeks. Rocky Mount police are searching for a man in connection with a shooting just before midnight. It was one of several shooting incidents in the city in the span of just a few hours. Police believe Tyrone Conyers shot Daquan Newell in the leg during a party at Creek Ridge Crossing Apartments. Overnight shots were also fired during a large fight on Northeast Main Street, injuring three people. Dynasty Brown is in the hospital in serious condition. Amaya Taylor and Isaiah Purvis were also shot. We don't know how seriously, though. Police say someone also shot into a vehicle with three women inside, but no one was hurt. New information regarding a triple shooting in Roxborough. Investigators tell us a shooter has died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Another person remains in a critical care unit. A motive in the shooting has not yet been released at this time. The shooting happened at a home on West Moorhead Street in Roxborough on Friday. Three men face charges after Nash County deputies say they interrupted a cockfighting event. Investigators say Bobby Etman, Collie Dustin, and Richard Perry are all charged with cockfighting, which is a Class 1 felony. Deputies received a tip about the event on Old Nash Road. They found a gate leading to a field where several cars were parked. Investigators say attendees were charged $40 per vehicle for the event. Deputies say once they arrived, people scattered.
The deputies went in and made arrests. Several people run. There were several members that had chickens that run with their chickens. Anytime that you have this illegal stuff, which is a felony in North Carolina, it leads to other type of violations.
Each of the three suspects are free on a $5,000 bond, we're told, and has a first court appearance tomorrow morning. A woman is arrested after police say she shot her son. Coming up, when and where this happened and what led up to the shooting. And the president is visiting the Bull City this week. Next, the purpose behind his stop in the Triangle. Look at that beautiful shot. The rain is gone, or at least now. That is Fayetteville that you're looking at right there. All right, welcome back. Fayetteville police are investigating a shooting that happened on Durant Drive this morning. Police say there was a dispute between a woman and her adult son, and both of them brought out weapons. The man was shot twice. No word yet on his condition. The woman is in custody. We're still working to learn more. We're also working to confirm more information about a crash on Skybow Road in Fayetteville. The road was closed from Lewis Street to Rayford Road for a time, but has since reopened. We will continue to make calls on that situation that you're seeing right there. President Biden will come to Durham this week to kick off his Investing in America tour. The president will be at Wolfspeed, a semiconductor manufacturer, on Tuesday. The company recently announced a $5 billion investment to build its facility here in North Carolina. We spoke today with White House Senior Communications Advisor Rachel Thomas about the upcoming visit.
The president's message is that North Carolina is on the forefront of this manufacturing boom that the president's Investing in America agenda has helped create and unleash, and that North Carolina is building these products that are helping to drive the overall American economy, and that will strengthen our U.S. competitiveness. He'll also communicate that he is fighting and delivering for North Carolinians, and he is delivering more private sector investment, jobs, and economic opportunity to people in Durham, in Chatham County, and in North Carolina more broadly. Other
countries are. The president will be on the move over the next 3 weeks. Biden will travel to over 20 states as part of the tour. For years, North Carolina nurses have pushed for more authority to practice without a doctor supervising them. They say the law requires a little beyond paperwork and signatures, and doctors can charge a fee for that. The issue is the subject of an intense lobbying fight at the North Carolina General Assembly. Despite broad support from rank-and-file lawmakers, House Republican leaders won't let the bill move forward. Our state capitol team breaks down the fight and the arguments for and against the effort. Check it out now at nccapital.com. All right, parents, listen up. The chance to sign your kids up for summer camps in Raleigh and Durham opens tomorrow. All right, get ready for this. Durham Parks and Recreation opens up registration tomorrow morning at 9. Registration was supposed to begin a couple of weeks ago, but was delayed. Then Raleigh Parks and Rec is taking a different approach with staggered registration. Camps will have a designated day between tomorrow and Wednesday for registration. Signups begin at 6:30 tomorrow morning. And it is also first-come, first-served basis, that is, for both cities. So you've been warned. Go ahead and sign up. Get ready for that. Anthony, where's the rain? It's gone. Look at those skies. They look so beautiful right now.
It looks a lot better than the just kind of dreary start we saw this morning, Julian. So, yeah, thankfully I got the sunshine for us right now. But then we got the flip side here of some more showers and storms into tonight. The good thing about that is, though, we're not expecting severe weather. It's going to come while most of us are sleeping, so pretty good sleeping and nap weather here into tomorrow morning. And then for the most part, our Monday is looking drier. I still have that chance to have a few showers. I'll show you that here in just a second, but let's soak up that beautiful sunshine here as we overlook our Anger camera. Cars moving along smoothly. The pavement looks like it's drying out nicely and the trees not blowing around. The winds are pretty calm. Temperatures are very mild right now. They're comfortable. We're at 64 in Raleigh and Fayetteville. Good evening to you in Southern Pines at 63. 61, a little bit cooler, but still comfortable there in Roxboro. The thing that's really helping us out, a lot of times during the summer, we talk about the dew points, that measure of the moisture in the air. A lot of times when we get above 60 is when you start to feel the humidity in the air. Most of our entire viewing area, aside from our southern areas where there is a front station right now, that's why we had the showers and storms, at least the potential for strong ones to our south. But everyone's comfortable. We're seeing those dew points mainly in the mid to upper 50s, even some low 50s to the north. Doppler radar is quiet right now. Oh, that feels so good to say after the showers we saw earlier today. But look what's going to come our way once again as we head into tonight. So we're going to look for showers and storms once again, mainly after about midnight. It looks like probably about 2 a.m. until 5 to 6 a.m. is going to be the heaviest time frame. It should be winding down by the time we head into that morning commute, but I'll show you future cast so you can kind of plan. Here is 1 a.m. Notice it starts to work in from the south and west. We see heavy batches of showers, maybe some thunderstorms. Again, not looking at severe weather, which is great news tonight. We head to about 7 a.m. I think Futurecast is a little bit underdone with the coverage. I do anticipate still a few showers by this point, by 7, 8 a.m. or so. So I would still keep the rain gear with you just in case as you're out the door tomorrow morning. There is lunchtime. We head into the afternoon. Most of us are going to stay nice and dry. There is going to be a chance, though, once again tomorrow afternoon when we get that daytime heating to see a few more showers, maybe some thunderstorms bubble up. So we'll call it scattered in coverage, not as widespread as what we saw today. So making progress at least into tomorrow. Morning rain here tomorrow morning will be in the upper 50s, low 60s, still very comfortable out the door on your Monday. We head into the afternoon and it's going to be a very warm one for us. Warmer than today, we're going to see temperatures mainly near 80 for most of us. 82 in Fayetteville, 81 in Clinton, 78 there in Rocky Mount. Tomorrow is going to be kind of our last really warm day here for a couple days. We're going to be going back to where we should be for this time of year. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday looking more comfortable. It's been pretty comfortable as far as humidity is concerned, but at least not the 80s here throughout most of this week. We're at 78 there on our Monday. The showers mainly during the morning. I can't rule out a few, though, into the afternoon. Tuesday will be dry, mostly cloudy, though, here during the day on Tuesday. And then into Tuesday night, we have another chance mainly from the triangle to the north of a few showers. We see 63 there on Wednesday. And then you guessed it, Julian. We go right back up to 84 there into early next weekend. For the most part, though, here looking a lot better tomorrow as we head into the afternoon as opposed to today.
And that's a nice warm-up, 84 on Saturday, though.
Yeah, we've certainly been seeing this kind of up and down with the temperatures. Yeah. But, yeah, it's going to be some comfortable weather and then some warmer weather.
Yeah, so. You know, I said it before. I'm excited whenever I see the 80s because I'm like, that means I can break out the shorts.
Shorts, beach day, something like that. I like it, too.
Let's do it all. Yeah. All right, thanks, Anthony. Coming up, Casey has all the highlights in sports next.
Cue the brass bonanza. For just the seventh time since relocating to North Carolina, the Hurricanes donning these beautiful Hartford Whaler colors tonight as they welcome in the league-leading Boston Bruins. Hey, good evening, everyone. Well, as we celebrate the franchise's history today, we also take a look at the history books that are being rewritten. It took Brent Burns all of 68 games to etch his name in the Canes books. 54 points. That sets a Hurricanes record for a single season by points by a defenseman. He passes three former Whalers players for fifth most points by any blue liner in franchise history. And, the unit as a whole has 48 goals. That leads the league. Let's get you out to PNC. Both teams coming off a back-to-back. And the Canes defense a little loose here early on. David Pastrnak, 50th goal of the season, comes on a whiff five hole. You don't get that many without a little luck, I guess. Freddie Anderson would control the rest, though. He'd be sharp the rest of the period. Whale-like reflexes on the save. Pucky the Whale making a celebrity guest mascot appearance. Oh, yeah, they're bringing out all the stars for this night. Bruins on the rush again. Tyler Bertuzzi scores. Looks like it's a 2-0 lead. But there's actually a penalty called on Charlie McAvoy for roughing. That's a saving grace there at the other end. Right now, after one, it is 1-0 Boston. Doubleheader today for NC State at Boston College. Holly Springs' own Matt Willitson. Six innings, five hits, zero earned runs, and two strikeouts in a 12-2 win. Let's get you to Chestnut Hill for the series finale. There's our guy, Elliot Avent. Boy, I feel like it's been a minute since we've seen him. He's got a guy, though, in Fuquay Varina's Dominic Fritton, the stud freshman, tossing four innings, one earned run, and a career-high eight strikeouts. Top of six, pack up one, Peyton Green lifts it high, and that one is goodbye for his eighth of the season. And Pack, boy, they were riding that momentum here, sparking a fourth run inning, capped off by Jacob Cozart's two-bagger. State looked like they were in control here, up 7-2, but bottom of eight, Eagles clawing back within one. Nick Wayne, his second homer of the day. That's going to tie the game at seven, so we need extras in this one. and it'd be bases juiced for BC. And I don't know, this just sums up the season for the Pack so far. A drop sack fly walks it off. State has lost its first three ACC series. 8-7 is the final. Well, another day, another dominating performance for Campbell. Drake Pearson gets the scoring going off this top of one two-run shot, his team-leading 10th long ball of the season. That would spark a four-run opening frame. And the Camels don't look back. Jared Belbin, have a day. He goes 5-for-7. I said it, SEVEN, 7 ribbies. Campbell sweeps Radford 22-4, the final. Camels have outscored the Highlanders 60-12 during the weekend series. To the jungle we go. East Carolina's defense has been stellar this weekend. Pirates up one. George Second Mason, the they're threatening, though, but Trimble. Jacob Jenkins, coward, says not today. He's got him at home, saving the game-tying run. Josh Moylan back in the lineup today, capped the scoring in the seventh with an absolute rocket. His second of the season, number 10, ECU continues its dominance inside the friendly confines. 12 straight, they improved to 16-1 at Clark Beauclair Stadium. And more madness in March, baby. San Diego State converts a go-ahead free throw with 1.2 seconds left to grind out a 57-56 win over Creighton, punching its first ever ticket to the Final Four. Julian, that means we're going to have first ever FAU, Florida Atlantic, right, against first ever trip for San Diego State. You can't script these things any better. It's incredible.
The madness is just crazy right
now. It really, really, truly is. So good for them.
Love March Madness. Thanks, Casey. And thanks for joining us tonight. Tune in for our evening news starting at 10 o'clock on Fox 50. Then switch over to WREL for our 11 o'clock news. Have a great night.